This week's parsha is Parshas Ha'azinu. Moshe is really at the end of his life. He is saying goodbye to the nation that he has loved and led from the Exodus from Egypt to the borders of the Promised Land. Ha'azinu is unique in nature in that it is a song. At the end of Parshas Vayelech, even before Ha'azinu, three times the Torah refers to the song of Ha'azinu. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, V'haya ki timtzeena oso ra'os rabos v'tzaros v'ansa Hashira hazos the fanav the eid kilo tishkach the pizarro. It will be that when many evils and distress will encounter, when the nation will encounter evils and distress, this song shall speak up before it as a witness, so it will not be forgotten from the mouths of his children. And then Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Chaf Beis Vayichtov Moshe es Hashira hazos bayamahu vayalmada espnei Yisrael vayilamda espnei Yisrael. Moshe wrote this song on that day and he taught it to the children of Israel. And finally, the last pasuk of Vayelech, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Lamed, Vayedaber Moshe ba'asnei kol kahal Yisrael es divrei hashira hazos ad tumam. And Moshe spoke in the ears of the entire assembly of Israel the words of this song until its conclusion. And then, ha'azinu ha'shamayim v'adaber v'tishma aretz imrei fri. Hear, O heavens, I will speak. May the ear, earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drip like rain, my utterance flow like dew. In this beautiful song of Ha'azinu, Moshe really goes through Jewish history, from when Hashem found them and took them into the desert land. It talks about the warnings to the people, what will happen if they stray and they turn away from God. And ultimately, it speaks about the end of days when God will redeem his people and take vengeance upon the nations of the world. What I want to speak about is not so much the context of the song of Ha'azinu, but rather the idea that Moshe's final act to the people, if you will, before the blessings in which he blessed them of his osa bracha, is to leave them with the song of Ha'azinu, like we saw Lamed Aleph Chaf Aleph, Lamed Aleph Chaf Beis, and Lamed Aleph Lamed refer to Divrei Hashira Hazos. So the Torah makes a point of telling us that Moshe leaves the children of Israel with a song. What is the significance of song, especially in Yahadus, and why does Moshe choose this as his parting message? Parting message? And lesson to Klal Yisrael. I quote from the great Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Levracha, the spirituality of song. With Ha'azinu, says Rabbi Sacks, we climb to one of the peaks of Jewish spirituality. For a month, Moshe has taught the people. He told them their history, their destiny, the laws that would make them a unique society. He renewed the covenant. He handed leadership over to his disciple, Yehoshua. His final act, which we will find in Vezosa Bracha, would be to bless the people tribe by tribe. But before that, there was one thing more Moshe had to do. He wanted to sum up his prophetic message in a way that he knew the people would always remember. He knew that the best way of doing this was through music. And so the last thing Moshe did before giving them his deathbed blessing was to teach them a song. He wanted this to be remembered for eternity. Adi Moshe Mashiach. And I will tell you that the songs that I learned, you know, a rule in math in 11th grade, in 10th grade high school, rule about math. And I remember it because I learned it in song. The song that we remember from our youth, from decades ago, always remain engraved in our mind. And Moshe Lahavdil, between this and my math class in 10th grade, wanted to teach the people a song so that they would remember forever. Says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, quoting Chazal, the rabbis enumerated 10 songs at key moments in the life of the nation. There was the song of the Israelites in Egypt, the song at the Red Sea, the song at the well, and he brings sources for each place in Tanakh where you find these songs. And finally, Moses' song at the end of his life, Ha'azinu. Yehoshua sang a song, Devorah sang a song, Chana sang a song, and so did King David. And then there was the song of King Shlomo, Shir HaShirim, about which Rabbi Akiva said, all songs are holy, but Shir HaShirim is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The 10th song, Chazal tells, has not yet been sung. It is the song of Yemashiach. When we pray, says Rabbi Sacks, we do not read, we sing. When we engage with sacred text, we do not recite, we chant. Every text and every time has in Judaism its own specific melody. There are different tunes for Shachris, Mincha, and Arvis, the morning, afternoon, and evening prayers. There are different melodies and moods for the prayers of a weekday versus Shabbat and the three pilgrimage festivals, Passover, Sukkot, and not in that order, Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot. There are different tunes for the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the season of which we are in now. There are different tunes for different texts. There is one kind of cantillation for the Torah. There's another for Haftorah. There's another for Ketuvim, the writing, especially for the Chamesh Megillah. There's a particular chant for studying the text of oral law, Mishnah, and Gemara. And so Rabbi Sacks points out that by music alone, we can tell what day it is in the Jewish calendar, what time of day it is, and what kind of text is being used. Jewish texts and times are not color-coded. They are music-coded. The map of holy words is written in melody and in song. And it's just incredible how you think when we have young children, how we teach them kamsat and yahadas, dip the apple in the honey, make a bracha loud and clear, l'shana tova and mesukah, have a happy sweet year. It's a song. And we all know the song, and we're familiar with the song. The songs of our youth remain with us forever. And this is what Moshe wanted to impart. There's something mystical about a song. There's something that touches the soul about a song. There's something integral in yahadas to song. And so Moshe thought, what is the best message that I can leave the people with? Not only the content of the message, but the medium of the message. Says Rabbi Sacks, music has extraordinary power to evoke emotion. For example, the Kol Nidre prayer with which Yom Kippur begins. It's not a prayer at all, says Rabbi Sacks. It's a dry legal formula for the annulment of vows. And yet its ancient, haunting melody has its hold over the Jewish imagination. It's hard to hear the notes of the Kol Nidre prayer and not feel you are in the presence of God on the day of judgment, standing in the company of Jews of all places, of all times, as they plead with heaven for forgiveness. It is the holy of holies of the Jewish soul. Nor can you sit on Tisha B'Av reading Eicha, the Book of Lamentations, which has its own unique cantillation. And you are moved. You feel the tears of Jews throughout the ages as they suffered for their faith, as they wept, as they remembered what they had lost. And Rabbi Sacks says, words without music are like a body without our soul. If our body clothes us physically, then music cloaks us spiritually. It's interesting, he brings proof from Capital Yud Tes of Tehillim. Rabbi Sacks says that mystics go further. They speak of the song of the universe, the music of the spheres. This is what King David meant in chapter 19 of Tehillim, Psalm 19, when he says, "Lamatzech mizmor leDavid, Hashamayim misaprim kivod kel, u'ma'aseh yadav magid harakia." The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament tells of his handiwork. And yet, yom l'yom yabia omer, v'layla l'layla yachve da'as, day following day utters speech, and night following night declares knowledge. Ein omer ve'ein devarim. There is no speech. There are no words. B'li nishma kolam. Their sound is not heard. And yet, b'chol ha'aretz yatsa kavam. And nevertheless, there is no speech, there are no words, but their music carries throughout the earth. Their words to the end of the world. Says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, beneath the silence of nature, beneath the silence of creation, audible only to the inner ear, and I will add, audible only to the soul, creation sings songs to its creator. We even know when Yaakov Avinu is fighting with the angel on the river Yabok, it was the Sar Shal Esav. When did the fight end? What did the angel say? Shacheni ki Allah hashachar. You have to send me. I have to go up. Why now did he have to go up? Just because the morning sun had dawned? What does Rashi say there? It was his turn to sing Shira. For this I was created, said the angel. It's my turn to sing Shira to God. We sing Shira to God. We sing Zemer to God. Moshe sang Shira to the people at the end of his life. Says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, the history of the Jewish spirit is written in its songs. And he ends this essay, which I have skipped much of, by pointing out, I once watched a teacher explaining to young children, they were not yet teens, the difference between a physical possession and a spiritual possession. He had them build, the children had to build a paper model of Jerusalem. And then, this was in the days of tape recorder, he put on a tape with a song about Jerusalem, and he taught it to the class, and they sang the song. At the end of the session, he did something very dramatic. He reenacted, so to speak, Churban Beit HaMikdash, the destruction of the temple. He tore up the model. He shredded the tape. There was no more paper model of Jerusalem. The children were astonished. And the teacher said to the children, children, do we still have the model? No, they replied. Children, do we still have the song? Yes, They replied, "The Song of Jerusalem endures, even while the model, the real Jerusalem, the Beit HaMikdash, Har Tzion, Shoshamim, does not endure." Even the captive said, "On the banks of the river Babylon," chapter 137, "Eich Nashir, et Shir Hashem al Admat Nechar, Imeshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini." It is a song that moves us to tears. It is a song that speaks to our neshama. It is a song that endures forever, specifically because it's a song. Says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, "We may lose physical possessions, but we do not lose spiritual ones. We lost the physical Moshe, but we still have the song. And it is the song of Torah that will be with us in every generation, in every exile, in every time, and in every age, until the end of days, when the 10th song, the sages say, will be sung in the time of Melech HaMashiach. V'haya kimtzitza'ena osa ra'os rabos v'tzaros v'ansa hashira hazos v'fanav v'aid ki lo tishkach v'pizaro." The song of the Torah is a witness that Torah will never be forgotten from our children. And one of the ways in which we teach this is through the medium of song. I wish everybody a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbat Shalom. Thank you. Kol tov to all.